Chapter 3. Friday, September 28th, and Saturday, September 29th.
Bronwyn. Friday, 6:45 p.m. My sister Maeve and I are in her room. It's good to be away from school. Before the Tumblr post, people were being nice to me, but now it's different. Am I a suspect? Maeve reminds me that next year I'll be at Yale. When I say I've got to get a place there first, she just grins. Maeve got cancer when she was 7 and wasn't really well again until 2 years ago, when she was 14. After so many years in and out of hospital, she's not used to being part of life, so I guess that I live life for us both. I join clubs, win awards, and get A grades. It makes our parents happy. And Maeve doesn't have to do too much, although she's turning herself into a techie geek. She looks out the window and says, "Isn't that Nate McCauley?" It is. As I go downstairs, my heart is jumping. "Hi, Nate," I say. "What's up?" "I don't have a good reason for being here," he says, grinning in a way that makes my stomach feel strange. When I invite him in, he says he doesn't think my parents will like that. It's true. And I tell him that there's only me and Maeve here. So he comes in, and I introduce him to Maeve, whose eyes widen. I feel uncomfortable. But Nate doesn't seem to notice. He looks at the piano in the living room and asks, "Who plays?" "Bronwyn," answers Maeve. And before I can say anything, she's telling Nate that I'll play something. Well, it's easier than talking to him. I play Pachelbel's Variations on the Canon. I'm good, but I usually don't think anyone feels anything when I play. But I play better than I've ever done. And when I finish, Nate says, "That's the best thing I ever heard."
Addie, 7 p.m. Officer Budapest has come to interview me at home. My mom is smiling too much, and my big sister Ashton, who's visiting, is sitting in an armchair, listening. "I want to ask you about something, Addie," the officer says. "You were in the nurse's office the day Simon died. Is that right?" "No," I say. "It's in the nurse's notes," he says. "Oh, I go there a lot," I say. "Yeah, I remember. I needed some painkillers." "Why do you need to know?" "We're checking because the nurse says there were always several EpiPens in the office," he says. Ashton says, "You can't possibly believe Addie took them." "I don't know what an EpiPen looks like," I say. Then he asks me about the detention again, and when he leaves, he asks me to call him if I remember anything more. Later, when I'm in my room getting ready to go out with Jake, Ashton comes and asks me why I lied to the officer about being in the nurse's office. A text comes from Jake just then to say he is nearly here. "Is everything okay with Jake?" Ashton asks. "Why wouldn't it be?" I say. "It's just a question. There's no reason for you and Jake to be like me and Charlie." It's the first time Ashton has admitted there are problems in her marriage. The doorbell rings, and she says, "Here he is, Jake Reardon, Mr. Perfect." I ignore her and run downstairs. Jake kisses me, then says, "Are you going out like that?" wearing one of Ashton's big sweaters. Why don't you put something cuter on, baby? Ashton is still in my room. When she sees me putting on a tight sweater and some shoes with open toes, she says, "You'll be cold on the beach. Is this change of clothes Jake's idea?" Bye, Ash. When I get to the car, I find Jake is driving TJ, too. I hate the journey. I hate it because only a month after I slept with Jake for the first time, I slept with TJ Forrester. I started things, not TJ. Jake was on holiday. I got really drunk, kissed TJ, and said, "Why don't we go back to your place?" He's a nice guy who said he'll never tell anyone, but I'm really scared that Jake will find out.
Cooper, Saturday, 4:15 p.m. A scout tells me I played really well in the showcase, which makes Pop happy. But the scout says, "Big improvement in a short time." And for a moment, the question, "Why?" hangs in the air. It's unusual to improve so much in a short time. Pop drives me to Simon's memorial service after the showcase. I'm trying to find my friends when I see Leia Jackson. I ask her if she's going to the service before I remember that Leia tried to kill herself last year because of Simon. He wrote about her sleeping with some freshmen, and she was harassed on social media for months. She cut her wrists and was out of school for the rest of the year. Leia says, "Everybody hated him, but they're acting as if he was a hero." I'm not going to defend Simon, so I don't answer. Then she asks me if I've seen the latest Tumblr post, showing her phone to me. Why didn't I kill him by putting a peanut in his sandwich? Well, his sandwiches were always wrapped up tightly, but he was always drinking from his water bottle. So I thought that if I took his water bottle and he was somewhere where there was only tap water, he would drink it. Mr. Avery's detention seemed like a good idea. I felt bad watching him die, but I couldn't do anything about it. You see, I had taken his EpiPen and the EpiPens from the nurse's office. This is worse than the first post. It's written as if one of us did it. I can't concentrate on the service because my head's full of other things. I keep hearing that scout saying, "Big improvement in a short time."